Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Sochem Daf Peches. We begin on Zayin Amud Beis. We started yesterday the eighth parak of Pesachim. Eighth parak of Pesachim starts off with a discussion of minui, of appointment. In other words, by Karban Pesach, you have to be appointed to be eating the Karban Pesach. Torah states so a couple of times that the minui, that the registration of the Karban Pesach is significant. It's not just significant, it's necessary for the consumption of the Karban Pesach. In fact, we learned earlier in the Masechta that if you shecht Karban Pesach and there are no minuyim and there are no one appointed registered over the Karban Pesach, so that's not a good shechita. So in other words, we know that the Karban Pesach has to have minuyim. It has to have people that are registered over the Karban Pesach. What our Mishnah discusses is the registration of one's wife, one's child, and one's Eved Kanani. So specifically by the wife, what did the Mishnah say? That a wife, generally speaking, goes to her husband, meaning her husband is going to shecht the Karban Pesach on her behalf. Back in the Mishnah, we discussed the minhag back in the times of the Mishnah, that on the first yontif after they got married, so they would go to her house. They would go to her parents' house for that yontif. She wasn't totally comfortable in her husband's family, with her husband's family. So for that first yontif, so there's a question as to whether or not she's going to be more comfortable eating from her husband's Karban Pesach or from her family's Karban Pesach. So the Mishnah told us that if we have two people shechting on her behalf, both the husband and her father, for that first yontif, so then it's up in the air. It's like a toss-up. The Mishnah said that she can go either way she wants. When is she making that decision? Is she making it after they shecht or before they shecht? So that the Gemara raises a question. The Gemara says it's inconclusive, meaning we could easily argue that she made the decision before the shechita, and therefore we won't have to come onto the topic of brera, of retroactive decision making. And so that's that was the Mishnah. But after the first yontif, the Mishnah says at that point in time she's totally comfortable with her husband, and as a result of that, a consequence of that, the default assumption is that she's always going to go to her husband. She's always going to eat the Karban Pesach of her husband, and that is her default registration. Good. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. What then happened in the Gemara is that the Gemara turned to Divrei Agadita. In other words, and not just Agadita, but also Darshanut of the Psukim in Tanakh. So as long as we discuss the relationship between a husband and a wife, so then the Gemara took it upon himself to discuss elsewhere in Tanakh, where we discussed the relationship between a husband and a wife. We quote a pasukim from Shir HaShirim, which always is, you know, the main place to go in Tanakh to describe the relationship between a husband and wife. And then what we did is we quoted pasukim from Sefer Hosea, specifically the first two parakim, because Hosea, the greatest navi of his time, that's not me saying that, that's the Gemara saying that. The Gemara, based on the very first pasuk of Sefer Hosea, the first of Treyasar, describes Hosea, Dvar Hashem Ashayel Hosea, right? The words of Hashem that were spoken to Hosea, Tchilas Dvar Hashem, I should say rather, it's not the first pasuk, but Tchilas Dvar Hashem. And the Gemara taught us yesterday that of the four Nevi'im that Hosea shared the same time with, he was the greatest of the four. And by the way, one of the four Nevi'im that lived during his time was Yishayahu. Yishayahu, who writes the Navi, which is just in terms of Pesukim and Perek and Prakim, is a much larger Navi than Hosea. But still, Hosea, 14 Prakim, is greater a Navi than Yishayahu of his 60-some-odd Prakim. Anyway, the beginning of Hosea describes how Hosea basically says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, look, the Jewish people to you are unfaithful, no problem, just substitute them, replace them. It's not a terribly big deal. That is what Hosea said to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Really a radical suggestion, just leave it at that, it's a radical suggestion. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Hosea, let's see how quickly you would be to get rid of your wife. So he says to Hosea, and just to make his point strong, he says to Hosea, don't marry a woman, marry a zona. And the Gemara yesterday quoted the Psukim from the first parak of Hosea, not just any zona, but a woman of ill repute, and I mean that, as I said yesterday, in the most literal way imaginable. Gomer Bas Devlaim was the name. So he marries her, he has three children with her, every one of the children he named as a representation, as a message of, this is... the Jewish people have lost favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yisrael, Lo Ruchama, Lo Ami, right, the three children of Hosea and Gomer Bas Devlaim. And then after having had those three children, so now HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Hoshea and says, okay, time's up. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu had Nevuah. He had a separate from his wife. You're now having Nevuah. You need to separate from your wife. So he says to Hoshea, okay, Nu, let's go. You got to excuse your wife, excuse your children, let's go, let's move on. So he says, I understand, it's my wife, it's my children, I'm not ready to move on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, now I hope you understand the point. Meaning, and you just married a Zona, right? And you don't even know if those children are yours. And you're so quick to get, and you're not, I'm sorry, and you're refusing to get rid of her. Now, let's talk about me and Am Yisrael. Me and Am Yisrael, it's not the right Bazona, meaning they're the children of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. He says, and you want me just because, okay, they're in Avodah Zarah, but because of that, you want me to get rid of them? Point made, point taken. Hoshea realized that he made a mistake. Hoshea gave a bracha for every one of the children that he had. He gave a bracha to Klal Yisrael to counteract all the klalas that came about. Because with every child that he had, so that was a new klala of Yisrael. Yisrael, as we discussed yesterday, I showed you the Tosfos yesterday, is that we're going to be planted in the diaspora. Meaning we're not just going to go into diaspora, but we're going to go there, we're going to get planted there in the diaspora. And lo ruchama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not have any more rechmanus, and lo ami, and they're no longer my nation. So for every one of the children / klalos that Hoshea has, so he gave a bracha, that's Perek Beis, he gave a bracha to the Jewish people to counteract all that. That is all what we saw yesterday. Just a quick synopsis of our Gemara from yesterday. We continue. We're on Pei Zayin Amud Beis. We are right in the middle of the Amud. Yeah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, right in the middle of the Amud. It's four lines before the lines get very wide. The first one line is Chazal Yehuda of Yerushalayim. Amar Rav Yochanan ben Zachariah Yeravam ben Yoash Melech Yisrael Limanos Imache. Yehuda Yeravam was counted together with the kings. Remember the beginning of Hoshea, the Gemara, the Pesukim in Hoshea says that he lived during the duration of four kings. The last of the four kings that Yisrael was split between a southern kingdom and a northern kingdom. Some southern kingdom was Yehuda. The northern kingdom were the 10 tribes. So the Machi Yehuda, the kingship of Yehuda was made up of his time. Of the last two was Achaz and Chizkiyahu. So the and then the Navi also says, and oh by the way, you know who was the king of Israel at the time? So it was Yeravam, not Yeravam and Nevat. That was the first king of Machi Yisrael, but rather Yeravam and Yawash. And the governor just wants to know, look, if we're just giving a historical reference, so you don't have to mention that point. You could have just simply said he lived during the times of the Machi Yehuda. Why was Malchi Yisrael mentioned together with Malchi Yehuda, specifically Yeravam ben Yoash? And the reason why, explains the Gemara, is because he didn't accept Lashon Hara. Meaning Lashon Hara was said about Amos, and he wasn't Mekabel. The issue of Lashon Hara is twofold, actually threefold, but the issue of Lashon Hara is the one who speaks and the one who listens to it. In fact, the Rambam writes that the one who listens to Lashon Hara is a greater aver than the one who speaks the Lashon Hara, right? Hard to understand why that should be, but that's the Rambam writes that very clearly. So anyway, so he heard Lashon Hara about Amos, but he wasn't Mekabel. I don't accept it. He's just simply not Mekabel. Minalan de imne de chziv, advar Hashem asher ayal Hoshea ben Bari, bimei Uziyah Yosam, achaz yecheska mach Yehuda, uvimei Yeravam ben Yoash Melech Yisrael. So the first thing the Gemara does is just simply quote the Pasuk. Meaning the Pasuk tells us that there were four Malchi Yehuda they lived concurrently with, or one after, I should say, successively with, one after the other. The Gemara in a moment is going to note, he outlived four kings, or he outlived three kings. The Gemara is going to make that point in just a moment. And then together with that, in conjunction with that, he also lived during the same time of Yeravam ben Yoash. Good. So the first thing the Gemara does is just simply establish the fact. The fact is that Yeravam is mentioned in the same pasuk. And now the Gemara says, and how do I know that he was not Mekabel Lashon Hara? So here we go to Sefer Amos. And now word was sent to Yeravam Melch Yisrael, and he says, Kesher Alecha. right? There's a coup against you. There's an uprising against you. Uksiv ki cho amar Amos becherav Yamusi Ravam, and he was making accusations. You know, Amos is saying that you're going to die by the sword. So Amar Chas Vashalom Amar Os Vatzadikach. So Yeravam's reaction is, no, he didn't say it. I can't believe it. It's a rumor. It's an allegation, and I simply don't accept it. Amar Maaselo Shchina Amrlo, and he says, and look. Even if he did say it, he didn't say it. That was the Shekhinah who said it. So in other words, right, literally here, don't shoot the messenger. Right, Amos, let me even accept the fact that he said it, but that wasn't him. That was the Kadosh Baruch Hu who said it. So he was not Mekabel, the Lashon Hara, he just simply didn't accept it. Amar Rav Elazar Mimnei, Afilu B'Shas Kasro, Shekhar Kadosh Baruch Hu Zochez HaRachman. Going back to the Pesukim in Hosea, so the Gemara notes, the Kadosh Baruch Hu's compassion. He's so compassionate, says the Gemara, that even b'shas kaso, even when he's angry, justifiably angry, but nevertheless, he still has rachmanas. Shenamar ki lo osif od arachim es beis Yisrael. I won't have any more rachmanas on beis Yisrael. Now, it's funny. You read the pasuk, you're like, really? Where's the rachmanas? I won't have any more rachmim on Yisrael. The fact that he even uses the word rachmim, meaning it's like a kind of like a hint, an allusion, that I'm angry, but I'm also I also have rachmanas. I'm going to show favor to them. The Amar of Lozo Lohigla Kashbarhu as he saw Labain Ha Umos Ella Kadeshi Tosu Aleim Gerim. The Gemara now spends a couple of minutes, I mean in Dafyomi terminology, a couple of lines describing now the purpose of us being in the diaspora. One has to wonder, right? And it's now been close to 2,000 years where we've been in this diaspora. So there's got to be a purpose, there's got to be a point. 2,000 years, right, just simply not, in other words, there's obviously, there's a grand design, but what from our perspective, how do we understand the diaspora of 2,000 years? So the Gemara gives a couple of approaches. One approach of the Gemara, one that is offered by Rebbe Lazar, is that we were sent into exile as a result of the fact that we should have Gerim join us. Meaning that if we're in, if we remain in Eretz Yisrael, so it's going to be hard to convert people. But if we're spread out throughout the world, so then we can convert the people. Sounds like from this Gemara over here that we are in favor of conversion. I mean, favor against. I mean, it's out there. Meaning we know that conversion is an option. But in other words, just from a philosophical standpoint, it sounds like from our Gemara that good. Meaning let's proselytize. That's what it sounds like from our Gemara over here, at least from this line of the Gemara. Shenemer v'zerasili ba'arts klum adam zoreasa lalachnis kama korin. And how do I know that? Just from the word zerua, meaning when we're sent into the exile, the word that's used, we saw this yesterday, we're saying it again today, the word that uses zera means I'm going to plant seeds. Why do you plant seeds? There's only one reason why you plant seeds, and that's to create growth. So over here, when we're sent into the diaspora, and the term that's used is zera, it means that we're going to send into the diaspora to cause growth. What's the growth? The growth is all the gerim that we bring together with us back to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yochanan Amar Me'achav Rechamtis Lo Rechama. Yeah. Rav Yochanan Amar Me'achav Rechamtis Lo Rechama. So, and Rav Yochanan says, you can observe the following pasuk. This pasuk also speaks to this idea that I'm going to have compassion. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochanan Ma'idichsev Al Tashin Evan El Adonav Penikalecha Ve'esamta or Ve'eshamta. Don't speak poorly. An Evan shouldn't speak poorly about his master because he's going to curse him. And he will be desolate. Uksiv, Dor Avivi Kalal, Ves Imolo Yivarech, Mishum Dav, I'm sorry, Ves Imolo Yivarech. His father, he curses, his mother, he doesn't bless. So the Gemara says, Mishum Dav, Yikala, Ves Imolo Yivarech, Al Tashain. So the Gemara says, how exactly do you conflate these two psukim? El Afilo Dor Shavivi Kalal, Ves Imolo Yivarech, Al Tashain, Evel Al Adonav. So the Gemara says, even if it's a generation where They're not that sweet to their parents. They curse their father. They don't bless their mother. But still, al tashen eved el adonav. But still, an eved shouldn't say anything poorly about his master. Minalam Yoshea. We know that from Hosea. Meaning, right? The upshot to the whole story is that yes, the Jewish people were not faithful to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That really was the precipitant of everything. But still, when all said and done, still don't say anything. meaning you really should not say anything. Hoshea said something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As a result of that, he suffered personally, and as a result of that, Klal Yisrael suffered. Again, now the Gemara goes back to this theme of why are we sent into the Galus. So again, so the Rebbe Lazar position that we saw just a moment ago was so that we can get Gerim. Okay. Another approach of the Gemara is given to us by Rebbe Yoshia. And that is, it's Tzedakah. Kadosh Baruch Hu did something, he did a charitable act by sending us into the Galus. How so? Behind the Damalei Aumina L'Rebbe Chanina. So the Gemara explains, what exactly, how do we understand this charitable act? So we'll understand it in the context of a discussion that takes place between a heretic and Rebbe Chanina. Anan me'alinan me'naychu. Ksi b'chu ki sheshet chadashim yeshiv sham. So we're better than you, says the men. So we were there for 6 months. V'ilu anan. So we are here for a long time, for many years, and we haven't done anything to you. So Amalo Ritzoncha Itapelach Tamid Echad. So he says, okay, you want a discourse? So let me give you a particular student. Itapale Rabbi Yoshia. So he puts in front of him Rabbi Yoshia Amalei Mishum Delo Yidito Hecha Tavdun Tachlinun. I'm sorry, Tavdu. So he says, I'll tell you the problem. The problem is, you don't know how to destroy us. Meaning, what are you going to do? You're going to destroy all the Jewish people. Right? I know the term Jewish problem, right? That's a more historically modern term. But in other words, it's not a modern term. The Gemara over here is basically dealing with how are the Goyim going to try and annihilate the entire Jewish people? So the men says to Rabbi Oshia, so what are we going to do? We're going to kill all of you? So let's nuk gabaychu. Here's the problem. Problem is, we're not all concentrated in one area. Maidika gabaychu karilachu machusa kitia. So, and if you kill the Jews that are just in your area, so you're going to be called machusa kitia, you're going to be called the murderous state, a murderous country. So in other words, you'll murder the Jews in your country, you won't be solving the quote-unquote Jewish problem, meaning there'll be other Jews in the world, and B, your reputation's on the line, and you're going to lose it. So this is the tzedaka of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he sent us into the Galus, so we're all over the world, so therefore, it's not exactly an optimistic way to view things, I get it, but therefore, as a result of that, we are never going to be annihilated as a people. Amalei Gapa Duramah, so when this Roman heretic heard this, he said Gapa Duramah, Rashi explains, that's basically like, oh my gosh, but you know, lowercase g, right? Gapa Duramah, Baha Nachtina Vaha Salkinan. You know, when we go to bed, when we wake up in the morning, that's exactly what's bothering us. Meaning we don't know how to solve this Jewish problem. We don't know how to annihilate all the Jews. We can't. You guys are scattered all over the world. Okay. Another approach in terms of what was good about the diaspora, at least a beginning of an understanding of this thing called Galus. Tini Rabbi Chia Mai Dechsev, a little more Agadata for this morning. Elokim Eivin Darka V'hu Yada Es Mikoma. The Pasuk in Iyov, which the Gemara now is going to discuss in the context of Galus. The Pasuk in Iyov says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, and he knows Makom, he knows the place. Yodeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Es Yisrael She'enin Yichol Mekabal Gzeres Achzarios Edom. He knows the following. Really, what was our fourth Galus supposed to be? It was supposed to be Edom. We were supposed to go straight to Edom. Okay. I know usually that expression ends somewhere else, but it's the same basic idea. We were supposed to go straight to Edom. And, right, because that was going to be our fourth Galus. I mean, what are our four Galios? First one's Mitzrayim. Second one is Paras Umadai. Third one is Yavan. And the fourth Galus is Edom. So we were supposed to go to Edom. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew. This is the Pasuk in Iyov. Elokim hevin darka. He understood. What did he understand? He understood that if we go straight to Edom, it's not going to work out. We're not going to survive as Jewish people. Leficha achiglosam labavel. So our first stop on the Edom train was that first we're going to go to Bavel. And, right, essentially what the Gemara is saying is what happened in Bavel? Tarshu Ba'peh, Mishnah, Gemara, right, basically we fortified ourselves, and then when we were good and ready, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us out into Edom. Another reason why we went, instead of to Galus Edom, we first went to Galus Bavel, then we went to Edom. So the reason why, says the Gemara, is because it's amuk kishol, it's deep like Sheol. Sheol is the term that's almost always used to describe Gehenna. So basically what the Gemara is saying is, Iraq is Gehenna. I understand there's a current connotation to what I'm saying, but that's basically what the Gemara is saying. Shenema miyad Sheol epadei mimavis egalem. Now, what's good about that? Meaning, okay, that's good. So essentially, the Gemara says, yes, it is. Because we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interest is to get somebody out of Gehenna as quickly as he can. Again, to our limited understanding, how we're going to process all these Gemaras. But as quickly as he can. In other words, once somebody's in Sheol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get him out of there. So, miyad Sheol epadei mimavis egalem. So immediately, right out of Sheol, I'm going to take you. So that was the benefit, so to say, of sending us into Bavel. Rabbi Chanin Amar min Meshikar v'Lashonam l'Lashon Torah. Another reason why we were sent to Bavel: language. Right? They spoke Aramaic over there in Bavel, very similar to our language. So, the obvious point is that look at all of our Torah Shabbat Peh. All of our Torah Shabbat Peh is in Aramaic. Talmud Bavli, which we spend every day learning, and even Talmud Yerushalmi, right? We're gonna be treated in just a short couple weeks from now, where we're gonna learn Talmud Yerushalmi together. The only Masechta Yerushalmi that we're learning in the Daf Yomi, and so Yerushalmi written in Eretz Yisrael, right in Hebrew, right? Nope, it's in Aramaic. It's gonna be a different dialect. You're gonna see me break my teeth over some of the words and the expressions in the Talmud Yerushalmi. It's a different dialect. But a different style, but it's Aramaic. So in other words, the Aramaic language, similar to that of Lashon HaKodesh, that's why Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan ben Meisha Shigron LeBeis Iman. The Gemara says, do you know why we were sent to Bavel? Because we went home. We went to our motherland. Right? I always say this on my trip down to Argentina. The difference between a motherland and a homeland. Right? Argentina is my motherland, right? Literally, in my case. So the... I know it's early, but you're getting it. So Bavel was our motherland, so that's why we went back to Bavel. And so when you get upset with your wife, what do? You send her back to her motherland. So I did say callously, and I apologize, but okay. The point of the Gemara is still being made. And the Gemara notes that three things go back to its return to sender, are sent back to where it came from. Elohim Yisrael Kesef Mitzrayim Uksav Luchos. The three things are Jewish people, silver of Mitzrayim, and the Ksav Luchos, and the writing of the Luchos. Yisrael Hadam Aran. So as far as Yisrael is concerned, we just made the point. Meaning, we went back to our motherland. By the way, I didn't state the obvious, but it's important to state the obvious. Why is Bavel our motherland? Avraham Avinu. That's correct. I should have made that point clear about a line ago, two lines ago in the Gemara. But Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu comes from Bavel. So in other words, so when we're sent out of Eretz Yisrael, really we should be going to Edom, because that's the fourth Galus. But first things first, we go take a trip back to our motherland. We spend some time in Bavel. That's where Avraham Avinu is from. So that is return to sender on the Jewish people. That's why we go to Bavel. Kesef Mitzrayim dechzi vayihi b'shanah ha-chamishit l'melech Rechavam ala shishak melech Mitzrayim al Yushalayim. And then, well into Bayis Rishon, so Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt, shishak melech Mitzrayim, so he comes and he takes back the silver. Thank you very much. Right. By the way, it gives us new understanding on the pesukim back in Parsha Shmos and Va'era and Bo, where we borrow the silver, right? And it's a funny lashon that we borrow the silver, but it took us a while to return it, but eventually it was returned to Mitzrayim. Okay, circa 1,000 years later, but still. Uksav haluchos dichsiv v'ashbarim la'inechem. And as far as Iksav Luchos is concerned, also return to sender. Right? Moshe broke the Luchos. What happened to the letters of the Luchos? They went back up to Shammai. Tana. Luchos Nushbaru Vosios Porchos. Sorry, I should have read that as the conclusion of the previous point of the Gemara. Luchos broke. Letters went back up to Shemayim. Okay. Ula Amar. Okay, we are trying to explain Why Bavel? After being kicked out of Eretz Yisrael after Churban Bayis Sheni, so we went to Bavel. So we spoke about the language, we spoke about its Sheol, we spoke about it's our motherland. And now a fourth idea in terms of why Bavel, why we were exiled to Bavel. Ulama kedesh yochlu tamarim v'yasku b'torah. So that we would eat dates. That's correct. So that we would eat dates, then we would be involved in Torah. Meaning, in Bavel, making a living is not hard to do. It's very easy living. And so therefore we would not be preoccupied with making a parnosa, but rather we would be preoccupied in the learning of Torah. Ula ikla la Pumbadisa. Ula went to the city of Pumbadisa, Krivali, Tarina de Tamarin. The Gemara is just telling us the story just to fortify the point that the Gemara just made. Which, by the way, makes sense because it's the same Ula who made the statement. So the Gemara now tells the story regarding Ula. So he went to the town of Pumbadisa and they brought him a basket of dates. Amalu, kama, hane, bezuza. So how many dates would I get for a zuz? Small coin. So Amalei Tlas Bezuzah. So he says you got three for Zuz. So Amar Malatina Dedufsha Bezuzah. Ubavlai Lo Aska Ba Raisa. So now I'm angry. Because if food is so cheap over here, and if I can get Malatina Dedufsha, if I can get a basket full of dates for just one Zuz, and these Babylonians are not learning Torah, I'm angry. So life is so easy. Living is so easy, they have no excuse not to be totally engrossed in the study of Torah. Balayla tsaru, but then Ula learned it's not that simple. It's not as simple as you thought. Because what did he do after he bought the dates? He ate the dates. And so then what happened that night? I think we all have enough life experience where we can guess. We don't have to. The Gemara is actually going to tell us. So balayla tsaru, so that whole night, so his stomach was tossing and turning. He had a bad night. Amar Malatzina Stama Demavsa. So he says, now I realize, yeah, the dates are cheap, but you know, not everything that's cheap in life is good. In fact, most of the times. So you get for what you pay for as I was taught young. So Bezuza Bebava Vavai Aska Baraisa. In other words, now I'm impressed over how much these Babylonians learn. Meaning I realized it's not as simple as I thought it was. And now any of the learning that takes place in Bavel, I'm impressed. The Amar of Elazar my dichsiv al amim rabbi ba'amr l'chuv v'na'ala al ha'ashem. El beis elokei Yaakov. So the Pasuk in Yeshayahu describes us going back to Eretz Yisrael. So meaning the segue of our Gemara over here is describing diaspora. And now the return from the diaspora. Elokei Yaakov, Elokei Avraham Yitzchak. So what's difficult to understand is that the Pasuk in Yeshayahu describes how we're going back to the base Elokei Yaakov. He's one of the Avos. The two others, how come they don't get mentioned? Elokei Avraham Shekasev Bahar. And the Gemara, I would say rather, it's a famous Gemara, but, you know, famous is always... it's always debatable. If you know it, it's famous. If you don't, it's not so famous. So the Gemara says, not like Avram, who refers, in other words, they're speaking about Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, who refers to it as a har, as a mount, Shenemar, Asher Yemar Hayom, Bahar Hashem Yera'eh, Akedas Yitzchak, the mountain. That's how he described, that's how he saw Yerushalayim. V'loki Yitzchak Shekasaba Sadeh. Yitzchak, when he saw the same area, described it as a sada, as a field. Shenemar v'yetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh. The sada is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim. Elok Yaakov shekaru bayis. But rather, like Yaakov, we refer to it as a bayis. Shenemar v'yikra shem ha-makom ahu, Beis El. He referred to it as Beis El. Amar Rav Yochanan, gadol kibbutz galuyos, kiyom shenivra bo shamayim va'aretz. And speaking of which, meaning Yaakov referred to it as a bayis, it will be a permanent abode. And so now, when all of Galus, when all the Galus go back over there to Eretz Yisrael, to the Beis HaMikdash, it will be such a great moment. The Gemara says it will be as momentous as the creation of the world. Shenemar v'nikbasu b'nei Yehuda v'nei Yisrael yachdav, the collection of b'nei Yehuda and b'nei Yisrael together, v'samu lehem rosh echad v'alu min ha'aretz ki gadol yom Yisrael. The day is great of Yisrael. Once again, that reference of Yisrael, that was our description of us being planted in the diaspora. So we're going to get uprooted and we're going to go back. The key word over here to note is Yachdav. Yachdav, we're going to be unified. Uksiv vayir vayivoker yom Echad. And that's connecting to Maisa Breishis, where also that is also unification. That's Yom Echad. So our return back to Eretz Yisrael will be as momentous as Maisa Breishis. Adkan Divrei Agadah. That takes us to the end of Hosea, relationship between husband and wife, relationship between Akash Baruch and Am Yisrael, and a lot of just general discussions, interesting general discussions. Diaspora, Galus, why Bavel? Okay. We back to Halacha. What did we learn in the Mishnah? The next point of the Mishnah was the Yasam, the orphan. The orphan who is cared for by custodians, appointed, court-appointed, it doesn't have to be court-appointed, but court-appointed custodians over the children. So what did the Mishnah tell us? Just to go back to the Mishnah, review the Mishnah. Yosam sheshachtu alav apotropusin, yochal b'makom shu rotze. So the Mishnah says, well, if he has two apotropusin, okay, it's unusual. I mean, I would imagine usually there'd be one custodian. But if he was connected with two foster homes, and they both checked the carbon Pesach for him, so what does the Mishnah say? He can choose. So, Yasam Sheshach Velav Apotropesim. The Gemara is going to ask a question over here, which should sound familiar, because the Gemara asked the identical question when we first learned the Gemara in yesterday's daf. Shama Mina Yesh Beira. So what do you see over here? The child's making a decision, what seems to be post-shechita. And the Mishnah says, and what does the Mishnah tell us? He could choose. And now, how's a choice going to work? So it must be retroactively. In other words, it goes back to the time of Shechita, because what we already know, once you shech, that's it. No, registration is closed. No one can no longer join the Chabura. And meanwhile, he had two people, Shechar and Pesach, and he made the decision post-Shechita. It must be that the decision works retroactively.
Isn't it mitzvah Korban Pesach midraita?
Right, that's what the Gemara is trying to avoid. Okay. That's exactly what the Gemara is trying to avoid. The Gemara doesn't want to suggest that it's Breira, and so that's why the Gemara is going to sidestep. Now, Amar Rabbi Zeira, now the Gemara is going to give an answer. Now, it's interesting, by the way, even before we read another word of Gemara, the Gemara is going to give an answer. Been here, done that. Meaning, go back to yesterday's daf. We learned to yesterday's daf, the Gemara asked the exact same question regarding the woman, and the Gemara gave an answer. What was Gemara's answer yesterday? No, you have to, the way you will understand the Mishnah is that she made the decision pre-Shechita. Meaning, even though the Mishnah sounds like she made the decision post-Shechita, but rather, we're going to interpret the Mishnah that she made the decision pre-Shechita. Now, it's interesting because the Gemara really could have given the same answer, and the Gemara is going to give a different answer. So if you take a look, I'm not going to go through it right now, but if you take a look at the first Tosfos on the Amud, he's bothered by that question. Why didn't the Gemara just simply go back to yesterday's daf and yesterday's answer? So the first Tosfos attempts to address that question. I'm Rabbi Zera. So here's the Gemara's answer regarding the Yasam. Se labayis mikol makom. It's a very terse answer. The Gemara does not give a lot of explanation. The Gemara gives, I should say rather, no explanation of this answer. It just simply says, celibais. Meaning, celibais avos celibais. I'm so happy that Bo is my bar mitzvah parsha. Like I actually know some of these psukim. So anyway, celibais avos celibais. So the, good. So the, a sheep for every household. Now, that's it. That's all we get from the Gemara. So it only begs the question, what does that mean? Okay, so, and therefore, so you take a look at Rashi, Selabayis, Ish Balabayis, Yikachin L'chol B'nei Beis Ovein Tzarech Da'atan. So the way Rashi understands the Gemara's answer basically goes like this. You don't need their das. Meaning that when you shecht a carbon Pesach for your children, so you don't have to register them. In other words, you're the father, you're the Balabayis, you're shechting carbon Pesach, so for outsiders, they need registration. They need minui. But for your children, they're on board. Automatically, it's assumed. Period. But in other words, even as I go through the Rashi, it still requires more thought and more explanation. Meaning, remember, what was the Gemara's problem? The Gemara says that you have a Yasam. There are two apotropism who's in charge of him. He will make the decision post Shechita, and that's okay. And we don't have to rely on Breira. It's okay. And how do I know that's celibias? It doesn't really answer the question. And in other words, so therefore, how does it work? And the Gemara's answer, according to Rashi, is, well, he's assumed to be registered. Yeah, but over here, he's assumed to be registered by two different people. Which one is he going to? So it's difficult. It's hard to understand how Rashi in his explanation of the Gemara, how this is really answering the question. Okay, it requires more thought and more explanation, of which I'll consider myself to be insufficient in terms of explaining. What about Tosfos? So Tosfos over here, very interesting Tosfos. Right? So Tosfos over here writes as follows. Tosfos says, Selabais mikom akom, perush, mishum de selabais labda raisa. So Tosfos gives a very interesting explanation of the Gemara, and he basically argues, Selabais, that's not a din da raisa. Now I know that's very difficult to understand in of itself, because it's a pasuk in Chumash. But what Tosfos is arguing right now is, I don't need the minui. I don't need to register a child. It's a child. Meaning, he can eat the Karban Pesach unregistered. It's fine. It's not a big deal. That's, according to Tosfos, now you understand the answer of the Gemara. Meaning, the Gemara is now addressing the question, addressing it very well. How can the child make a... How can he decide retroactively? Especially if we don't subscribe to this idea of retroactive decision? Answer is... He doesn't need to decide. It's okay for the kid to eat Karban Pesach even though he's not registered. That's how Tosfos understands the answer of the Gemara.
That's not Breira at all.
Correct, that's exactly the point. Meaning, we don't have to rely on Breira. We're not using Breira. It's just, he's a child, it's okay. Now, Breira just means retroactive decision. Now, so the obvious question now is, well, wait a second, the child's not registered. How is he going to eat Karban Pesach unregistered? Meaning, isn't there a prohibition to eat Karban Pesach if you're not registered? So that's the next part of Tosfos, and this is what makes for a very interesting discussion. Okay, not for I'll go through the Tosfos, I'll read it, but then in terms of discussion, another time. But Tosfos writes, the V'hachi Yisrael Rabbi Zera Gufe B'Perakein Ben Amudar, and he says, and look up the Gemara Nedarim, and over there you'll see this clear, that this whole idea of a child needing to be registered, it's not a din d'oraisa. Fine. V'im Tomer V'ech Machal Pesach Shelo Lemnuyav Nihi Dekatan Ochel Nevel Sein Beis Metzuvim La'afrishlo L'sapos Lo B'Yadayim Aser K'damar B'Perak Cheresh. But Tosfos says, okay, good, so he's not registered, and now you're feeding him Karban Pesach that he's not registered over. Now, isn't that a violation? How could you do that? So this is a key answer.
Hmm? Do we know the age?
For the time being, let's just say he's a cotton, which will make it easier to understand, but I only say easier. But Omer Rida, Hasim Yalfina mi lo tochlam, v'lo aser ela dumya deshratim and avelus. Aval ki agavne dike chinuch mitzvah sharei. So Tosfos writes that you're not allowed to feed a child non-kosher food. Good. But that means food that is unilaterally not kosher. Shratzim, meaning bugs. Child wants to eat a bug. You don't have to stop him from eating it, but you cannot feed him the bug. Fine. That's Tosfos. But over here, it's Karban Pesach. Yes, there's a prohibition for an unregistered person to eat Karban Pesach, but it's Karban Pesach. It's a mitzvah. It's okay. That's basically what Tosfos says. Okay, the obvious point that needs to be clarified, which again I'm just raising, not addressing, is why is that okay? Meaning, if it's prohibited for someone to eat Karban Pesach when they're not registered, so for Tosfos to say, yeah, but it's Karban Pesach, there's chinuch, oh, it's okay, let it go. But if it's aser, it's aser, and even if it's only aser rabbinically, but it's still aser. Okay, so. Tosfos needs more clarification, but it's interesting. Two basic approaches to understand how to understand the Gemara's punchline over here of Selabais. Either Rashi, you don't need the das of the child, meaning he's subsumed under the parent, and therefore he is registered. Although according to Rashi, it's hard to understand then how we're answering the question that Yasim gets to choose. What do you mean? He's now subsumed under two custodians and two Karban Pesach. So how does it answer the question? From Rashi, that's not clear. That needs more clarification. And Tosfos gives a whole different approach, which is this whole idea of Selabais is only a din. It's not, you really don't, you're not registering the child. The child doesn't need to be registered. Okay, and it's an unregistered child. And he's eating Karban Pesach. Tosfos says, yeah, it's okay. And then what we have to understand from Tosfos is, why is it okay? So, okay, two basic issues I raised, but, some clarity on the Gemara. Let's continue.
So the difference between a child and a woman that we discussed before was that she's got dad.
Wait, just wait, because the Gemara is going to... We're going to come back to that. That's going to be a big part of the next Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan Selabayit Malam Isha Adam Mevi V'shochet Al Yidei Beno Ubito Ketanim V'al Yidei Avda V'shivchaso Kananim Bein Midatan Bein Shalom Midatan. You see, Rashi is beautiful because from Rashi you really understand now the Gemara citation of this Braisa, like it really just fits. The Braisa says that you are Selabayis, your dependents are just automatically come on board in your Karm Pesach. Your minor children, your Eved, your Shivcha, HaKananim, they just automatically come on board. Bein Midatan, Bein Shalom Midatan. And it does not matter whether there's Das, there's no Das, it doesn't matter. But if you have independent children, or if you have Jewish slaves are not slaves, they are employees. Okay, not right without great benefits, but in other words, employees. Va'ayad ishto ela midatan, and then, but when it comes to the independent children and the eved ivri and the ama ivriya and ishto and your wife, so there you need das, there you need her consent, all their consent. That's one brisa. Tanya Edoch, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Lo yishchad adam lo yidei beno bito gedolim, lo yidei avdo v'shivchaso ha'ivrim v'al al yidei ishto ela mida'atan. So this brisa starts off with basically the same point. Independent children, Eved Ivri, Ama Ivriya, ishto, need their consent. Aval shochid lo yidei beno bito ketanim, v'al yidei avdo v'shivchaso kananim, bein mida'atan, bein shelo mida'atan. You shecht on behalf of your minor children, on behalf of your Eved and Shivcha Kanani, whether with or without their consent. So far so good, but the Braisa continues. The Kulan Sheshecht V'Shachad Rabban Alehen Yotzim Mishel Rabban Ve'en Yotzim Mishel Atzman. And now, if any one of them shecht, and their master shechts on their behalf, so Mishel Rabban Ve'en Yotzim Mishel Atzman, they go to their master. Master over here just simply means they're superior, and not to their own Karban Pesach. Meaning they first go to their superior rather than to their own. Chutz min ha'isha she'yachol limchos, except for the wife, because the wife, if she wants to, she can demur. She can say, no, I prefer my own Karban Pesach this year, not with you. Now, Maishna Isha, so the Gemara says, a wife, meaning, wait a second. The wife we put in the same category as independent children and Ama Ivriya and Eved Ivri. So why at the end of the Braisa did the wife get singled out? That's strange. So the Gemara says, Isha, Amarava Isha v'chol d'damila. So the Gemara says right away, no, that, when it says wife at the end of the Braisa, it means the wife and anyone who's similar to her. Meaning, and the independent children and the Eved and Ama Ivriya. Fine. Hagufa Kasha. But now, okay, so now we got the Braisa kind of worked out, but now we look at that second Braisa, and let's really focus, let's zoom in onto that second Braisa. Amar chutz min ha'isha she'yachol limchos taima d'machi alo machi nafka b'shal bala. It says in the beginning of the Braisa, the woman can protest. She has the right to protest and simply say, I'm not interested. Okay, but in other words, what does that clearly indicate? That if I deduct the protest, so that means that she's automatically going to be subsumed under her husband. So v'hakatani reisha v'al yidei ishto. I'm sorry, v'lo yidei ishto elam idatan. But then, when you go back to the beginning of the brisa, the very beginning of the brisa, it says that if you want your wife part of your karban pesach, you need her consent. And what's unclear right now is what's the default of one's wife? Is the default of one's wife that she's with you in your karban pesach, and only with a protest, with a michui, does she then jump ship and go to her own Karban Pesach? Or, no, in other words, I actually actively need her consent. And without it, she's not automatically with me. So, hastam alo nafka. So, the Gemara says, elamita, hastam alo nafka. So, the Gemara wants to know, where are we on the middle ground? Meaning where she doesn't acquiesce, but she doesn't protest. So, where's her default lie? So my elamidatam lav da amri en elabistam alafuke hechadamra lo. So I'm sorry. My elamidatam lav da amri en elabistam alafuke hechadamra lo. So the Gemara says her default lies with her husband. She doesn't protest. She doesn't consent. That's an assumed consent.
I was thinking
someone's going to raise that issue. I don't know. Meaning, what Ben's raising, and I don't know the answer to, is that generally speaking, bias in the Torah is a reference to one's wife. So, in other words, when the Torah says sell a bias, so it would seem like the wife automatically is subsumed under the husband just from the terminology of bias. That's what Ben raised. I was thinking it. I don't know. The Hakulon Sheshach V'Shachav Rabban Aleim Yotzei Mishal Rabban. The Gemara says the Bistama. So the Gemara says, yeah, but look at the following scenario. The end of the Braisa, where the Braisa ends off by saying, you Shecht, and your master Shechts, what happens? You go to the master, except for the wife. V'Ktani Chutz Menisha, Mimnei Sheyachol Limchos. Why? Because she could protest. So what does that sound like? She didn't actually protest. So the Gemara says, no, she did. Sometimes you have to pick up the messages that she says without actually saying them. My friend, she's shechting her own carbon Pesach. Let's call that a protest. The Gemara's lashon. I mean, it's great. Ein lecha michui gadol mizeh. The protest doesn't get louder than that. She may not say anything, but here you are in Yerushalayim with your own carbon Pesach, and there she is with her own carbon Pesach. I don't think she wants to be with you this Pesach. You get that feeling. So the Gemara says that's michui. That's a protest. Okay. Adkan. All right. So quickly, let's just wrap it up. We finished. I know there's another amr to go. We'll try to catch up ground tomorrow. We have today finished up the Agadita. We went through the end of the Gemara's discussion of Hosea, diaspora, Bavel. A lot of big discussions and big topics that deal with the Hashkafa. And then we went on to discuss today the Yasam, the orphan, where the Gemara says that he is attached to whomever he wants. The Gemara says, "What is that? Is that contingent on the idea of Brera?" The Gemara says, "No, it's not. It's contingent on the idea of Celebias." We went through two different approaches of how to understand that, Rashi versus Tosfos. And then the Gemara's discussion of the wife. Is a wife automatically, is her default connection of Karm Pesach to her husband? And the Gemara's answer is yes. It is. Unless she protests. Once she protests, so then she's withdrawing her registration from her husband's Karm Pesach. Protest can be done in one of two ways, basically. It could be done by her verbal declaration, hey, I don't want to be part of this Karm Pesach this year. Or she's shechting on Karm Pesach. That's also a nonverbal protest, but the Gemara says an extraordinarily loud one. Okay, we'll see.